Welcome to Nevada Newsmix. On the program today, Ray Hager and I talk with Assemblyman David Bobzien. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Andrew McKay, Joe Guild, and Trey Abney. It's all coming up next on the all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
The doctors at Eye Care Associates specialize in surgical and medical treatments to maximize your vision results. They can change the way you look at the world.
LipiFlow is an exciting new technology used in the treatment of chronic dry eye disease.
The procedure is quick, usually about 12 minutes, virtually painless, and performed in their surgical suite. Don't let dry eyes interfere with your life.
We perform a comprehensive evaluation to determine whether or not you will benefit from LipiFlow.
Your sight is critical. Call Eye Care Associates for an appointment.
From your house to the White House, the folks at D&D Roofing can get it fixed with their eyes closed.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
From Nevada Newsmakers, we are always pleased to welcome back to the program Assemblyman David Bobzien. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so why do you guys not have a candidate yet for governor? What's going on? I mean, really?
We do have a strong candidate for lieutenant governor. We have strong candidates for the other statewide offices.
You have four years to get somebody in place.
Sam, I hate starting off an interview with "I don't know," but I don't really have a good answer.
State Senator Tick Sagerblum was on the program a couple of weeks ago, and he said, "Well, you know, the governor's fine. I mean, he would be a Democrat if it weren't for his position on taxes."
Well, I don't know if I would agree with the good senator on that statement. I mean, certainly we have our differences in the legislature with the governor.
For example?
We've had differences of opinion on, say, Assembly Bill 46, capital school funding in Washoe County, the need for greater funding for education. We've had differences. That said, hopefully the governor will continue to listen to folks throughout this campaign cycle, as all of us will be listening to our constituents and preparing for the next legislative session.
All right, so let's move immediately to the margins tax. Carol Velardo was on the program last week, and she was talking about how when you figure out the real tax impact from both Jeremy Aguero of Applied Analysis and from a CPA in Texas where there is a margins tax, the actual real tax rate will be around 15%. So are you in support of this?
Well, you know, I've read Jeremy's study and was very appreciative that we had that information that was put out there. Certainly, there are a lot of folks in the legislature that continue to have questions about the margins tax and the proposal. You know, certainly questions about how does it compare to Texas? Is it, in fact, you know, twice as much as it is in Texas? What is the true impact? You have different sectors that are potentially impacted disproportionately. You know, those are all the sort of technical policy details that I think will hopefully come out more as we go through the campaign.
Now, you don't really think technical issues are going to be part of the campaign.
Well, I mean, and that's, really.
Isn't this the time for us to discuss it before we're bombarded with literally millions of dollars worth of advertising on both sides?
It absolutely is. And the concern that I have, this is a true dilemma, I think, that's facing voters in the state. On the one hand, there's no question, and I hope even the opponents of the margins tax understand that we do need funding. We do need a restructuring of how we do revenues in the state. Just because the economy is starting to come back does not mean that our needs will suddenly be met to the fullest. That said, my concern is if this does not pass, we will lose all traction and all conversation that's going to be needed to bring this back to the legislature this next time and have a conversation about revenue and pass some sort of meaningful restructuring, because the pressure will be off all the folks that are there. So I look to the opponents. It's a broad coalition that have lined up against this.
And, including Danny Thompson of the AFL-CIO on this program.
And I can't speak for labor.
He said this was not the bill that he was supporting.
What concerns me is that you have some folks in that coalition that would be against any tax that were to make it on a ballot. And I have to just look at them and say, you know what, I don't consider you to be serious participants in this conversation. But you have others that do have concerns. I hope that they don't lose focus on the fact that we have to do something when it comes to revenue.
Carol Velardo also said that this would take us, if this passes, from one of the lowest tax states in the nation to the fourth highest tax state in the nation.
Well, that is a concern that's out there, and certainly from the legislative perspective, the possibility of not being able to make any needed adjustments to a ballot initiative once it passes, that's a reason for concern. Nonetheless, the policy differences that people have, I hope, don't overshadow the larger conversation that we need funding for education.
Okay, so bottom line, are you going ahead and supporting the margins tax that we will be voting on in November?
You know, at this point, my position on it is that it is going before the voters. The voters have to decide. I am a voter. My own self have not personally made up my mind as to how I'm going to be voting for it, because I need to look at all of these facts and information. But what remains is, because you'll hear a lot of legislators say, well, you know, once it goes before the voters, it's not really my place or their place to make a statement on it. I am absolutely sympathetic for why the frustration is there with the legislature for us failing to move forward with revenue restructuring. The two-thirds supermajority requirement has been my number one frustration since I've been in the assembly, because time and time again, it's like Lucy with the football. We all know and we all say that we need more funding for the state and the state's needs and the state's citizens, and yet we always fail to come up with some sort of a package. And that falls on the legislature, and it also falls on the governor for not showing the leadership needed to finally address these problems.
David, you were talking earlier that you have a strong candidate for lieutenant governor, and you were referencing Assemblywoman Lucy Flores of Las Vegas. But two things. Number one, she has not, like yourself, has not taken a position on the margins tax. And she is, you know, the only candidate in the race, a viable candidate, that has not. And another thing is that she's seeking Northern Nevada votes, but she was very vocal in the legislature about this issue of funding moving in the higher ed system, funding moving from Northern Nevada to Southern Nevada. And how is that going to impact people up in the north, not taking a stance on the margins tax and taking what could be an anti-Northern Nevada stance on education funding?
Well, I don't necessarily see it as that, and certainly I've had lots of conversations with Lucy, and she looks forward to coming up and spending more time in Washoe County and getting more acquainted with our needs and our issues. You know, she was supportive of our efforts with Assembly Bill 46. She knows that she has to campaign up here, and we look forward to helping her out with that and introducing her to the constituents up here. You know, I think there is a broader issue that you point to right here, and it is one that concerns me, and that is sort of the tenor of the conversation right now when it comes to North-South issues in the legislature. I've certainly never seen it as fevered as it is right now.
Around 20 years ago for fair share.
Well, this is true, but I do try to take a look at this from the standpoint of the long story and the long arc in the history of this. Since I've been in 2006, this last session was certainly, it was a hot topic. It'll be a hot topic this next time. You know, my hope is that we can bring the conversation around to one that is more about the needs of the entire state. Plenty of our Northern Nevada legislators are very well aware of the challenges that Carr County faces when it comes to, you know, class size, you know, temporary construction buildings for kindergarten students, et cetera. I think we all want to work together to find some sort of a solution to the problems that face all of us.
All right, let's take a break. More with Assemblyman David Bobzien when we come back.
To contact Nevada newsmakers, call 775-857-2244. Or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to MarilynMiner.com.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI water and sewer companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard, while biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're continuing our conversation with Assemblyman David Bobzien.
David, I'm asking you this as a former chair of the Assembly Education Committee. And when Governor Sandoval filed for re-election, he spoke about pre-kindergarten education as being one of his focuses in the next legislature, if he's, you know, fortunate enough to be reelected, which we all know he's going to be, because you guys don't have a candidate yet. But with pre-K education, how does this manifest itself in the legislature? What type of bills might be proposed to help with pre-K education?
Well, certainly we've had, as Democrats, a lot of experience advocating for universal full-day kindergarten. We still are fighting that battle, and hopefully we can get to that point where all kids have access to full-day kindergarten. I think it is also important to look at pre-K. Pre-K is a little bit different because it's a network of public and private providers, and so the lines kind of blur and the policy becomes complicated. My interest in pre-K for the last several sessions has been professionalizing the delivery of what gets taught, making sure that the little ones, once they're in pre-K, once they get to kindergarten, they're ready for the schools. And we have vast differences in quality that in instruction that our kids are exposed to. So hopefully the governor's commitment to this will be joining that conversation to make sure that we're boosting the quality of pre-K education so that the kids are ready for kindergarten. There's so much emphasis on being able to read by three.
Can I just interrupt? Because we're running out of time here. Forgive me, because I'm going to sound totally stupid here, but I have no idea what you teach kids in pre-K. How old are the kids, and what do they learn? Do they learn to prepare for nap in kindergarten?
I mean, no, you're talking about, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5. You're talking about the ages when they're most exposed to early information. They're like sponges. They have to be prepared for recognizing numbers and letters and colors and shapes and rewiring or wiring their brain to be ready for to learn what they're going to learn once they get to kindergarten. And if they just sit in front of a television, or if they just, you know, just do nap time, or they just play.
Did you do pre-K?
I did do pre-K.
Really?
I turned out all right.
Yeah, but do you remember any of the benefits of that?
Well,
I mean, you know, what happened to parenting? What happened to babysitters?
Well, parenting absolutely provides a part of that. But
like,
I mean, the reality
now,
is
now
that
you've got government coming in. And,
well, you don't have
funding,
government coming in.
You know,
what you have
enough,
is you have.
Hang on a second, please. You've got enough problems. Being able to get kids to go from high school into college, where you have to spend a fortune on remedial education at the university level, which shouldn't be there anyway. It should be in the community college level. And now you're talking about funding two-year-olds? This is crazy.
You know what? I didn't even talk about the funding. What I was talking about was the professional standards.
Well, I'm bringing it up.
Well, the idea and the concern, and I hope that this is the governor's focus, is that we need to look at what is being taught, making sure that it is clear what the standards are for pre-K education so that
I don't get what you're teaching a two-year-old.
Colors and numbers and letters.
But don't you learn that from your parents, your family, growing
Not
up?
Not anymore, it's apparently.
Well, I'm sorry, that just seems to me very bizarre. I started school at 4. I think that was early enough.
Was that in kindergarten?
No. Well, yeah, I guess, yeah.
Okay, well, not all kids at 4 are able for...
No, I understand that. I was lucky.
Right.
I got in early.
Okay.
But I also remember one of the things was that, you know, we had a period called nap. You know, you took a rest.
Right.
So I'm trying to figure out what the difference is between that and having somebody look after your kids that you would pay
in
the private sector.
Some people want to make that decision, but I think most parents want to make sure that they've got the best preparation that they can get before their kids get to kindergarten. I know that, you know, many of my neighbors, other young parents, want to not just dump their kids with a babysitter and have them watch Elmo and take naps, but actually prepare, do lessons.
What about Sesame Street?
Learn about shapes, learn about colors, learn about numbers and even early language. I mean, my kids have had, you know, some exposure to Spanish in a pre-K environment, and all those sorts of things are the things that get kids ready for kindergarten so they can be successful.
You know, I want to say Nevada is late to the conversation about pre-kindergarten education.
Okay, and we're out of time, but it's a great topic for another day because I want to know more. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout. Thank you, sir.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
When it comes to delivering energy, a lot happens behind the scenes. NV Energy generates thousands of megawatts of energy and moves it along miles and miles of transmission and distribution lines to Nevada homes and businesses. So when you flip a switch or push a button, there are no surprises.
Ah. go to school.
When a client comes to our office, they're concerned. They're concerned about the pain they're in. They're concerned about their future. Our clients are the victims in these cases, and they deserve a fair settlement.
Go lightly in Vanna. 222-3333.
Live with a human for a while, and you get to know a few things.
Like, I know she does strange tricks for no treats. But the one thing I will never for the life of me know is how she gets so tiny and inside that box. Natalie, how do you get so tiny?
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Joe Gill, the attorney. Pleasure to have you here, sir.
Morning.
Andrew McKay is chairman of the Nevada Transportation Authority, and Trey Abney, director of government relations for the chamber. And we were joking in the break here, as we're recording this, the day after the elections in Crimea, about the turnout here. But what do we have to do in Nevada and in this country to get people to vote, and especially in primaries? And especially in primaries in off years, do we have to change the laws to make it compulsory that people vote?
Well, take a page from Putin, put armed soldiers on the streets and biker gangs at the polling places. I don't know, Sam. I've thought about this for years. the public is not informed. Why they're not informed, I don't know. There's programs like this. I think people just don't care, and part of it is they're cynical about politicians. Let's leave it at that.
Have you seen House of Cards?
Oh, I'm addicted to House of Cards.
Andrew, do you think that may be one of the reasons why?
That's the only thing that makes any sense, quite frankly. You know, to say it's an inconvenience to vote, it doesn't get any easier between absentee voting, early voting. You know, I think perhaps programs like We the People, you know, that teach civics and the Constitution and it, beginning at the elementary school level. But it's just, it's ridiculous, the voter turnout. I don't know what the answer is, quite frankly.
Trey, you've got some big issues on the table. Actually, you all do.
Yeah.
Coming up in this election cycle. And we've got 20 candidates for mayor of Reno.
Well, that's right. But, I mean, we have to think, do we want everybody to vote? I mean, I want informed people to vote. I want thoughtful people to vote. I want engaged people to vote. I don't know if I want everybody to vote. If the voters are misinformed, as Mr. Guild says, and I agree with them, a lot of them are, I'm not sure I want them pressing a button or pulling a lever if they don't know what's going on. And that's, they're cynical. I'm cynical of politicians, and I work with them all the time. But there are very important issues that we need to educate voters on, including margin tax is a big one, of course, statewide, and the 20 people running for mayor. But we want to engage people and have people know what's going on, not just have everybody vote because they're eligible to vote.
You know, Trey makes a real quick point I'll make, follow up. you mentioned the mayoral race in Reno, 15 candidates for governor. So in the sector that cares about elections and whatnot, there's a lot of information, a lot of energy, a lot of commitment. So I don't know. Back to my point, I don't really know what the answer is.
All right, let's change topics then and talk about the economy. And it was interesting, Station Casinos put out their results here last week. And Mark Falcone, who's the chief financial officer, estimated that there's more than $8 billion worth of projects going on in Southern Nevada at this point of view, which will be beneficial for Station casinos. But that's almost what it costs to build City Center. So when you talk about the economy in a recovery mode, doesn't that look good to you?
I think anything is good news, quite frankly. When you look in terms of just, you know, the baseline numbers, the economy definitely is getting better. Is it where it needs to be? Certainly not. I don't think anybody would profess that it is. Look at the unemployment numbers right now. We're at 2008 numbers. I mean, we've almost got out of the hole. We're not even out of the hole all the way completely. So your point, Sam, is very good when you compare it to City Center. But any amount of money that's getting put into the ground, I think, is better than nothing. quite frankly.
And this should be great news for the construction industry.
Well, yeah, because you finally got some casino projects that are starting to move. You've got a big project going on out in Summerlin, a big mall being built out there. And when you build retail like that, they're assuming that the residential and people out there are going to follow and start building houses again. So it's positive. We're never going to go back to the growth we saw pre-2007, but I'm not sure we should. That was such a rapid amount of growth, we couldn't keep up with it. So we may be able to get our head above water and breathe a little bit.
You know, Joe, I disagree with that. I think that when you're looking at $8 billion worth of projects, in 2014, that's only going to increase. You've been around long enough to see booms and busts, and don't you think that we're going to see booms again if we're already back to where we were in 2008?
Yeah, I do. You know, those construction jobs, you know, they'll be the customers of the mall in Summerlin and other places. Las Vegas is probably the most amazing place, certainly in this country, for its ability to rehabilitate itself, reinvent itself. I hope we don't have another boom like Trey was just saying, where it was so steep that the fall was so precipitous. But, you know, 2 years ago, there was an 80% unemployment rate in the construction trades in southern Nevada. This can only bring that up to a positive, better number than certainly the 80% we saw.
Andrew, you get the last 15 seconds here.
I think what Joe said is a great point, though, and to keep in mind is that those jobs, those are generally high-paying jobs, and those individuals, to Joe's point, they reinvest that money into the economy. And hopefully it's kind of one of those that self-fulfills and then it creates its own growth sort of glide path. I think it's good. Good things are happening in this state, and we should be excited for it.
All right, that's where we're going to leave it, gentlemen. Very optimistic today, except about the voting in Crimea. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Short sales are getting easier, so call Marsha Realty today for all the benefits for you and your family. It's time for a fresh start. Call us today at 473-1055 or renohelp.org.
If the recent changes in healthcare have you feeling like there's a lot to learn, you're not alone. At Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield, we've done our homework on the new healthcare law, so we can help you make an informed decision, like finding a reliable health insurance plan that's right for you. All our plans offer $0 preventive care benefits to help keep you healthy. Our plans cover doctor visits, prescription drugs, hospital stays, and more. Choose from doctors and hospitals in our network. Generations have relied on us for their health care coverage. Apply today. Your coverage is guaranteed, and there are no medical exams required. Act today. It's not too late to apply for health coverage in 2014. Open enrollment ends soon. Now you can get reliable coverage from a name you can trust. Call us at 1-866-768-9305 for a free quote. That's 1-866-768-9305. Or visit lookatanthem.com.
At Carson Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, we set our prices based on the competition. Lower is better, isn't it? See for yourself at CarsonDodge.com. The inventory, nearly 300 new and another 100 on the way. Now during Truck Month, new Ram Quad Cab 5.7-liter Hemi 4x4s for only $27,700. Hemi Express Crew Cab 4x4s for only $30,300. And save up to $11,500 on the final 12 remaining 2013 Ram trucks. Carson Dodge Ram, where cars, trucks, and Jeeps really do cost less. Thank you.
In 2013, Marsha Realty had the most short sales ever. So 2014 will be the best year to have a fresh start. Call us today at 473-1055 or renohelp.org for all the benefits.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. On the next broadcast, Dr. Jeffrey Geis will be here to talk about turnaround school zones. We'll see you on the next broadcast.